You don't have to know this.
We had some trouble with the computer here, but it seems to be working right now. So I'm here to bring to you a PostgreSQL use case from Brazil. It's PostgreSQL in mission critical financial systems. My name is Flavio. I work in For Linux, Free Software Solutions. It's a company from Brazil that works with every kind of free software, not just Linux. And first, I want to say to you what we do in Caixa. Caixa is a bank, a public bank in Brazil. It's the third largest bank in Brazil and the second largest public bank in Brazil. But it's the only bank that is in all Brazilian cities today. So what we do there? We have the second level support, or I'm the support of the Caixa support. The people in Caixa is the first level, and I'm the second level support. And we work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So the system just can't stop. And then we have to support them every time they need us. What we do there? Configuration of PostgreSQL and other free software that they are running. We help to test and to document everything. Since I'm the consultant in charge, I have to document everything and give the documentation to them. I'm talking then because Caixa is here, my customer, Davidson, is here. And he's here to testify that what I'm talking to you is true. We have knowledge transfer to them. I have to train them in PostgreSQL and in other free software they use. And we have a commitment in our contract that we have to make code and give code back to the communities. So if I make some changes in PostgreSQL, I have to give it to the PostgreSQL community. This is a commitment. Of course, I attend communities. I'm here to talk to you as a community guy. And I'm on the mailing lists too, so someone sends a question, I can answer the questions in the communities. We are not closed to the communities. We are open to the communities. Well, I have to talk something about Caixa. It's the only bank that is present in all cities of Brazil. If you go to Brazil, you will see a Caixa agency in every city. And you will, if there's not an agency, Caixa has a lottery system that works in the whole country. So if you go to a lottery agent, it's a kind of a bank too. You can take money, you can pay bills. So every Brazilian has used or will use Caixa someday. When I talk about Caixa, this is not only a bank. If you talk about social benefits, if you work in Brazil, you have benefits that you take in Caixa. And if you are just a Brazilian citizen, you can go to Caixa to check your benefits too, your social benefits too. Today, the government of Brazil is a very big open source advocate. So everything works in open source software over there, or should work in open source software someday. And Caixa is a bank too, so the data that we are running here in these systems are very sensitive, so we have to take care of it. What I will present to you is the multi-canal system. Multi-canal in Portuguese means multi-channel. Why multi-channel? The system is responsible for social benefits, for banking transactions, and other services that Caixa gives to the Brazilian people. For example, short messages in cell phones, mobile phones. And today, it's working for ATM self-service, the bank machines that you can put your card, take your money, take extract, and everything. And we have a monitoring system too. So today we have these three channels. In the future, we'll have agency systems, and the lottery system will work in multi-channel too. Today I have some numbers that Caixa authorized me to say to you. We have more than 22,000 ATM machines in the whole country. I think this is the largest ATM installation in a single system in the world. There is no bank in the world that has as many ATM machines as Caixa. All ATM machines are property of Caixa. There is no third-party company working with the ATMs. The system itself is from Caixa. Caixa is the owner of the system. There's no third parties owning the system or taking money from Caixa to drive the system. We are consultants for Caixa. In a peak day, since it's a transaction system with banking transactions, we have days that there are not too many people in the bank, and there are days that you have a lot of people. For example, before the Mother's Day, that in Brazil is in the second Sunday of March, of May, sorry, everybody goes to the bank to take money to buy a gift for the mother. So in a peak day like that, we have more than 7 million banking and financial and social benefits transactions in a single day. It's a lot of transactions. Okay, so we are using a Windows computer and we have the update manager. No problem. And when we talk about banking and financial and social transactions, we have more database transactions than you have social and banking transactions. So in a peak day, I have counted more than 18 million database transactions in PostgreSQL. The system moves more than R$1 billion each month, since $1 is about 1.8 reais, about 5 million or $6 million each month are moved in the system. So it failed. It failed badly. Okay. What are the characteristics of the system? It has high availability. It has to work 24 hours a day. It just can't stop. It needs to have high performance. I told you that you have 18 million database transactions every day, but it's not distributed over the day, because when the bank starts working, people start to go to the agencies. And after some time, about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, you have peaks of transactions. So we start to have more than 4,000 database transactions in a second, in a single second. And of course, we need high reliability. I'm not talking about the reliability of the system or the database itself. I need reliability for all data that is on the database. I just can't lose a single transaction. It's not permitted. That's what we call mission critical. If you go to the Wikipedia, you see that mission critical is like a bus, space bus launch. Nothing can fail. It's the same here. Nothing can fail in Caixa. I stop the whole country if the system fails. That's why this system is mission critical. It's so important for the Brazilian people. Okay, let's start to explain how it works. That's the map of Brazil. We have more than 22,000 ATMs in the whole country. All ATMs connect to a Cisco CSM load balancer, a hardware load balancer. And then it connects to a cluster of JBoss application servers that runs a Java enterprise application over here. And this application is responsible to make the middleware between the ATMs and the mainframe. So what happens here? The mainframe is responsible to the authorization of the transactions, and the system is responsible to log and control the life of each transaction that comes from the ATMs. If you know financial and banking transactions, you know that they have two or three legs. What's a leg? When the customer goes to the ATM, puts the card, selects what he needs, and then puts the password, the ATM sends the beginning of the transaction to the middleware. This is the first leg. Then this application is responsible to control that the transaction started, then send the transaction to the mainframe, and the mainframe has to reply to the system what happened, is authorized, not authorized, and the data necessary to the transaction. Then the system receives from the mainframe the second leg. Since the system controls the life of the transaction, this second leg has to be logged somewhere. Then the second leg comes back to the ATM machine. So where's the third leg? The ATM has to give the customer the money, the paper, or the check. And then if something fails on the ATM, a hardware failure, for example, or a power down, power loss, it has to send to the system the third leg. What happened in the end of the transaction? This is what we call three legs. And then this system is responsible to log the third leg. And all logs and life control of the transactions are done in the PostgreSQL database. That's why PostgreSQL is too important, and I can't lose any single database transaction here. If some transaction is lost, the system will not close everything. And every day we have to send to the Central Bank of Brazil, we have to send this whole log of the financial transactions to the Central Bank. And everything is stored in the PostgreSQL database. Nothing can fail here. So, since it can't fail, how do we do? We can talk about warm standby or hot standby to send the transactions from the main database to a contingency site through the network, but it's not possible to rely on hot or warm standby because some transactions can be lost. We always have a standby server a little behind the master server. So the solution for that is a replication solution from Hitachi that supplies Caixa with the storage subsystem, the storage subsystem. And then it's done by fiber channel to the contingency site. So I have another PostgreSQL ready to accept connections over there when we need it. If this PostgreSQL fails, that one should take the system and all transactions that were committed in the main database. So this replication is synchronous. It has a cost, of course. We will talk about it later. To this system to work, we had to make some tests, and you need to make 750 transactions per second minimum. It's a requirement from Caixa, and we did some tests with these systems that you see there. ZOS in the mainframe with the WebSphere application server plus DB2 database. The other test was Debian GNU Linux with JBoss application server and PostgreSQL. And the third was Solaris 10 with Sun Java system and Oracle database. So the results was the best TPS, of course, was in the mainframe with ZOS, WebSphere, and DB2. When we tested with Debian, it was okay, about the same as 750. But it has 1% of the cost related to the mainframe, of course. It was certified for the solution. But this test was what they needed. Solaris 10, JBoss, and PostgreSQL is the least total cost of the solution because Caixa uses Solaris widely in all systems they have. They use Solaris, so they preferred to use Sun Solaris platform. It was the definitive platform. This is the second system in the multi-channel. It's the monitoring system. What happens here is the ATMs sent to here to another Java enterprise application with a cluster of JBoss application servers. It sends what we call sonda. What's a sonda? Sonda is the status of the ATM. So if everything is happening in the ATM, a hardware failure, or the door was opened, or someone tried to take the money without authorization from the ATM, it sends it to another application. Then you can monitor in the web system. You can monitor what's happening in the ATM. And to know how is the status of the transactions in the day, the transactional application that I showed to you in the other slide sends logs through PostgreSQL database to this application. This application just makes selects in the other database and replicates it in this database in an asynchronous fashion. So if you go to the web system, you can see how many transactions happened, how much money was moved, and everything on. And online, you know the status of every one of the 22,000 ATMs in Brazil. Since the monitoring application can't stop to, we are using replication to another contingency site using PostgreSQL too. And this is the short message application. It's approximately the same as the other one. The mainframe sends the messages to a Java Enterprise application, and it sends the message to an SMS broker. It's another company that sends the message to the customers. And this system has a web interface too, so the managers and agencies can include customers on the system, take it out, and control everything that's going on. This application is transactional too, and is responsible to log everything that comes from the mainframe to the broker in a PostgreSQL database and control the line of messages that are coming from the mainframe and are not sent to the SMS broker yet. Of course, this application can't stop, and we have site replication too here. So, how is the infrastructure we are using there? Since we tested Debian Linux, we used that since the beginning. It was Debian Etchenhalf, that kernel, 2.6.24, is Etchenhalf 64-bit. The system started in 2008, so Debian Etch was supported at that time. And then we used PostgreSQL 8.3.6 community code compiled in-house. Why not the Debian package? Because the Debian package of this version was in Lenny. It wasn't possible to use the Debian package directly, so we preferred to compile the PostgreSQL. Nothing was changed. We just took the community code, compiled everything, and used it as is. And then, why we had this test? The platform was ready. We had the hardware needed to run Debian. And then the ATM system was going to migrate every ATM each time. So there was a company running Brazil. Brazil is a very large country. And they were working to change every ATM from the old system to the new system. So it started with a single agency, 10 ATMs, and it was growing until 22,000 ATMs every day. And when it reached 22,000 ATMs, Caixa decided to migrate to Solaris 10, Spark 64-bit, with PostgreSQL 8.3.7 SUN package. The SUN package, I think, is the same as the community package. It just has some flags. Maybe Josh Berkus can say me more about it. And these are the sizes of the database. The transaction system, the first one I showed to you, today is about 250 gigabytes of data. The monitoring system, that is DW, Data Warehouse, 1 terabyte database, and the smallest one is the SMS system that today is just 20 gigabytes, maybe a little bit less, I think. The hardware used, since it's a high performance system, we have to show the hardware used there. When scaling up, we use a Dell servers with 8 cores hyper-threading, which means 16 logical cores at 1.8 gigahertz, 16 gigs of RAM. And then we migrated to HP servers that were real 8 cores at 2 gigahertz and 32 gigabytes RAM. And today, we have a Sunfire E25K, and each board is 8 cores UltraSpark, 1.5 gigahertz and 32 gigabytes RAM. The transactional system used 90% of the total CPU system, so we needed to include another board today for the transactional system, so we have 16 cores with the transactional system. And the subsystem of storage is the most important thing in database applications. PostgreSQL relies a lot in the disk subsystem. So how it works? We have a storage area network with fiber channel disks and the Itachi virtualizer that started as 16 gigs of cache. Today is 64 gigs, I think, of cache. And MAC data switches. In production, we have the virtualizer Itachi with 8 gigs of cache and fiber channel disks at a RAID 5 faction. Someone from PostgreSQL development should be looking at me and saying, why aren't you using RAID 10? It's a requirement of Caixa to use RAID 5 or RAID 6 disks in all systems they run. It's a requirement. So I just can't come here and put everything in RAID 10. If necessary, and the disk performance was low, I could go to Caixa and say to them, you need to use RAID 10. But I had absolutely no clues to say to Caixa, this is a number of disk response, and you need to use RAID 10. The disk response was always good since the beginning. So RAID 5 is still used over there. We had some problems with the storage subsystem related to the replication, the synchronous replication. The two sides are very far one with the other. I will talk about it later. We have two backup subsystem that is a Clarion EMS storage, and the tape is IBM Tivoli. Well, the replication. The virtualizer of Itachi is responsible to replicate every single byte from the main side to the backup side. It uses fiber optics, and one side is far from the other, 4 kilometers, about 2.5 miles apart. You know that fiber channel uses light, the speed of light, to send that data from one side to each other. And this distance for light is not so big, but the other side storage has another system running on it, and we have disk concurrency on it. So when the main site sent data to the backup site, sometimes the other disk took too long to respond, and we had hiccups on the database. You know that AutoVacuum does this. When the AutoVacuum starts, sometimes the performance drops a little bit, and that's what we call hiccups. But the AutoVacuum was not responsible for hiccups, but the replication system. And this was the last thing we did to solve the problem, is to put more cache on the backup site. And then when the main site sent disk transactions, the response was OK. Well, let me talk about my challenges over there. I'm the support, but I was in Caixa about 6 months, every day, sometimes in the weekend, every night, to make the system available every day. And the stability on the OLTP database was the most important thing. If you have a really fast system running on a PostgreSQL database, you need to make it stable. That's what we call the hiccups. When the system has a small freeze on the disks, especially, the database performance starts to drop. And then we have to solve that. Another problem was the data warehouse performance that was not so good. The reports were taking too long to respond to the customer or to the client itself, to Caixa users. And then we had a lot of work to make it work better. And what I think is the biggest challenge to any DBA is database maintenance. I'll talk about it. One thing that is very important when you are entering a company that uses Oracle, DB2, Sybase, is that everybody knows the other RDBMS systems, and no one knows PostgreSQL. So, When we arrived there, people were taking backups with pgdump. You know that pgdump is not the right tool to make backups. So PostgreSQL can make online backups, and we have the point-in-time recovery strategy that's very nice for this kind of system because I can make online backups. Of course, I have to make this backup in the night, during the night, because when I'm doing the backup, I have a disk slowdown, or better, a disk performance that slows down. So every day, one copy is made of the whole databases, and I keep 2 days of full backups in disk, not in tape. This backup is just for disaster recovery. So if I have a problem in the disk, the main disk, I have the backup to give it back, and not a tape, then I have to take, find the tape, put in there, and then take the backup from the tape. I need 2 copies on the disk, because when I'm making the second copy, I need the first copy right over there. And to make everything very strong, to not lose anything, I have a replicated wall archive. So, to make it stable, what I had to do? First, keep the throughput of the database. I said to you that we have about 4,000 transactions per second. I have to keep it. What you done? Shared buffers. In the first lecture today, was told that if you have good memcached, you can have a fast database. We don't use memcached, but we have servers with enough RAM to have a large shared buffer. And in an OLTP system, if you use a shared buffer with a higher setting, you have more performance over there. Because the mostly used data will be in memory. So it's quite fast. So try to use a shared buffer as high as you can. If you have a 64-bit system, you can use more than 4 or 5 gigs of shared buffer. And PostgreSQL works very well with this situation. Another thing that you have to turn very well is WorkMem. In this kind of system, if you have temporary files going to disk, you have very huge performance slowdown. So try to monitor your temp files that you go to in the settings of in the postgresql.conf. You can find the log temp files, turn it on, and if you have some kind of temporary files in an OLTP database, try to increase your WorkMem. So you have to make a balance of all connections and all transactions using WorkMem without using temp files. And you will need to have free RAM in the system to increase your shared buffers. So there is a balance over here. And of course, if you have enough RAM, you will have problems with swap system, swap space. Another thing that the same guy told in the first lecture today was connection count. PostgreSQL is quite fast when you have less connections. So if you have a system like a Java Enterprise system, JBoss application server has a pool of connections that you can use. You don't need pgpool or pgbouncer to do that. JBoss application server gives you this. So try to keep the connection count very low in every instance of JBoss application server. So PostgreSQL will be much, much, much faster. We started using thousands of connections in PostgreSQL, and the performance was always dropping. So if you don't have temp files, enough WorkMem, and a high shared buffers, you can keep the connection count very low. And the way to do that is monitoring. JBoss application server, since it's Java, it gives us a lot of information that you can use to count the connections he's really using in the pool. So if you make this, you can set the connection count in a very good fashion. Another thing that is very important to a transactional system is the checkpoint time. So if you have the default setting of PostgreSQL is 5 minutes. It's okay. It's okay. I don't think anyone has to increase the checkpoint time more than 5 minutes, except if you have a very slow disk. Then you have to increase it to 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, and then your system will run very fine during this time. When the first checkpoint occurs, your performance will drop. So, if you have fast disks, which is this case, I have a good storage subsystem with good cache, then when a checkpoint starts, you won't feel anything on the database response time. So 5 minutes was okay. But the target time that is default in PostgreSQL setting is 0.5, which means that during 2 minutes and a half, PostgreSQL will try to write to the disk the same as 5 minutes of transactions. So what you have to do? Increase this setting to 0.8, and sometimes if you have a very good system, 0.9. Another thing that I don't know anyone that had to change is the pgwrite parameters in PostgreSQL. What pgwrite does? It takes data from the backends that were sent to the shared buffer and tries to write to the disk between checkpoints. And we took a Saturday, I remember that day very well, to change pgwriter settings, because when one checkpoint finished and before the next checkpoint started, I just didn't write anything to the disks. So I just let a lot of job to the wall writer to make a full checkpoint. So if you increase the pgwriter parameters, you can have writes between checkpoints that will use your disk availability. So in a fast system like this, try to increase your pgwriter parameters. And how to do that? Monitoring your disk throughput. Megabyte per second and IOs per second. Another thing that should be changed between Linux and Solaris is the sync method. Of course, we need the fsync to be on. I will never turn fsync off, either full page writes off. Maybe Magnus can help me to talk about full page writes. But the sync method in Solaris, the best one was fdatasync. And in Linux was opensync during our tests. To finish this slide, I would like to talk about AutoVacuum. Please, raise your right hands, everybody. Please, help me. I will never, repeat with me, I will never, turn AutoVacuum off. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Well, I didn't told you that we started using PostgreSQL 8.2 in Caixa. And in 8.2, the AutoVacuum demo was not so good. When the AutoVacuum started, the performance was completely dropped, and the system just stopped transactioning. So a manager came to me and said, turn this AutoVacuum off. And I did it. I spent four to five months trying to turn AutoVacuum on again on 8.3 when we upgraded the database. I was testing the database, and the AutoVacuum should be on because you need statistics. You need analyze on the database. And the tables that were very big in the system were starting to be very bloated. Very, very bloated. About 10, 20 times the size it needed to be. So, in a very sunny day, I came to a manager and said to him, I will turn AutoVacuum on again, because we need analysis. The performance was very bad. We were having scheduled analysis during the day to try to solve this issue. And we had vacuums manually shotted in the night. But the vacuum was started at 1 a.m. In the 6 a.m., the vacuum wasn't finished yet. That's okay. So, please, people, auto vacuum always on and well turned. We have today one auto vacuum setting per table in the database. So, the mostly used tables are very aggressive in auto vacuum because when they are using during the day, after half an hour of transactions, I need an auto vacuum on that table. And some ones are not evenly used, so I have no problem with them. So I have one auto vacuum setting for each table in the database. Well, some more challenges, stability. I have to keep the throughput. Every time I say it, I remember that time. Okay, so in the operating system, what you have to turn? In Debian, in Linux, you have the I/O scheduler. You can find it in the proc subsystem, I think yes. And today, I use in my database deadline as the I/O scheduler. The default is complete fair scheduler. That is not good for databases. What is deadline? When the disk arm is moving, the database, the operating system tries to write everything it has to write during that move. The next move, it will try to write the other things. This is deadline. In complete fair scheduler, the operating system will try to take everything for all processes and try to drop it in the disk in a fair way, which is not so fair for databases. So we use deadline. In Debian, we needed to apply a patch that is included today in kernels more recent than 2.6.27. But in 2.6.24, we had to apply the patch in the Debian kernel. It's the kswapd patch that were starting to trigger the OMM killer. If you work with database, you know what I'm talking about. The PostgreSQL processes starts to drop, to kill by the kernel, the Linux kernel. So I had to apply a patch to solve that. In Solaris, you have to turn max Q message, that is a parameter of the storage subsystem. The I/O board has a setting that's called like this. You have to put as many ways to this disk as you have fiber channels. The force direct I/O in UFS is quite important if you are writing on that disk your wall logs. If you don't have the force direct I/O, you will start to use cache to write wall logs. And if you have a power down, you will lose transactions. So it's quite important. And if you will use ZFS, you have to turn the arc cache. I'm not using ZFS in the transaction system yet. I'm not so brave. I don't know if Josh Berkus is here. He told in his tutorial that you have to use ZFS in PostgreSQL. I don't agree with him. When we use ZFS in the transactional system, when the arc cache was full, the Solaris system just stopped to do I/O. So the database stopped for a few seconds. It's not good. So when you use ZFS for a report system, a data warehouse system, you have to turn the arc cache. But for transactional systems, I prefer to use UFS, the old good UFS. It's my opinion, please. Well, disk turning. Do you think that just put some disks to your database is okay? Well, in this storage subsystem, I have 6 RAID arrays. And I had to use one full array just for the wall logs. It means 250 gigs of disk that I gave for wall logs that need just 3 or 4 gigs of disk. And then someone said to me, but you are wasting disk space. I just forget about disk space in a database. You need performance. So you take one RAID array just for your wall logs. And then some tables are more used than the others, and some indexes are more used than others. So I try to take the other RAID arrays and distribute between tables and indexes that are mostly used. Why not mix wall logs with tables in the same disk? Because tables and index access are random, and wall logs are fully sequential. When Postgres is transactioning, it writes wall logs in a sequential fashion. And when it needs tables and indexes, the access is completely random. So you have a disk arm crazy trying to find locks and sectors on the disk. And PG xlog, the wall logs, the disk arm is just running in a very peace fashion. So you have to separate this if you want performance for your write queries. Well, I said to you that I had problems with the synchronous replication that were dropping my performance. So in the remote storage, I had to put some more cache. Today we are using high-end storage system for them. It's just to tell you what happened at that time. And you have to set your fiber parameters. It's not just take the storage supplier to put the storage over there and connect everything it's working. It has to be monitored to check what's happening in each disk, in each RAID array, and in the replication system. Okay, data warehouse is very common to everybody, but the table partitioning helped us a lot with the performance with some kinds of queries in a data warehouse database. We had to do an automatic partitioning function. The tables were separated by week, and then when a new week started, the function automatically creates the new partition for that. And we expect that sometime, someday, PostgreSQL will have it automatically. I won't need to write a new function for that. And I needed collaboration of the developers of that system because the Java application uses Hibernate, how do you spell that? And Hibernate just don't know how to use a partitioned database. So I had to go to the... Do you have that problem? I think. I have to tell to Hibernate how to use the partitioned tables. We have some XML data in some tables. I needed to make some development collaboration too, because they needed to change that part of the application that writes XML data to use not just one single table, but to distribute that between several tables to find that out. Well, the maintenance. In bold, auto vacuum always on every database you have. But how to schedule some re-index? You know that the index starts to get bloated during database use, so you need to schedule that. Then we use it a script from Nagios people, that monitors the bloat on each table and each index to check when an index is too bloated to need a re-index. So you can prepare that and use a weekend, a Saturday to Sunday window space to make this re-index. And sometimes you need to dump and restore a table. The system is too fast, the transactional system, and even with auto vacuum on and very well tuned, sometimes some tables get very bloated, especially the smallest ones. So sometimes I have to vacuum full and re-index that table. It's mandatory. Maybe in 9.0 we'll have that new vacuum full. That seems to be very nice. I still have to test that. But sometimes it's cheaper to dump and restore the table. Because when the table is too big, you know that when you run vacuum full, you need sometimes a day or two to finish that vacuum full. So we preferred to dump and restore the table. Of course, it comes with some drawbacks. If your table is related to another one, you have a foreign key from another table to yours, you have to drop that foreign key and create that again. It's very difficult for support people that does that very automatically. So it's preferred to use vacuum full plus reindex in that cases. Well, I said that the state machine is partitioned too. What is the state machine? There is one table in the transactional system that is very large and that controls the life of the transactions that I told to you in the first slide. The transaction comes, the first leg is an insert on that table. The second leg comes is an update, and the third leg comes is another update. So you try to see that you have this table very bloated, about three times the size it needs to be. And I keep just 5 days of data on the system. Every 5 days, I just delete data from that table. So how to solve this bloat problem on this table and the auto vacuum is not enough to keep it not bloated? We partitioned the table. We use it one partition for every day of this table, which makes my delete very easy to do. Just drop the old partitions. Of course, I needed to collaborate with the development and say to Hibernate how to deal with that. So I solved the purge problem with partitioning too. Okay. What were the other problems I had, what I call paradigms? In the data center, the reality today is not PostgreSQL in Brazil. It's my knowledge in Brazil. We don't have large PostgreSQL installations over there, or they are not public enough for me to know them. But Encaixa was the first big PostgreSQL use. So nobody knows PostgreSQL. We made training with Caixa people, but we need people from other companies that work in Caixa to know PostgreSQL too. This is quite difficult. Everybody knows Oracle. Everybody has a card saying, I'm an OCP, Oracle Certified Partner, and so on. But no one is PostgreSQL certified. How do I solve this problem? People should know PostgreSQL. That's why I'm here in Canada to say to you that we need more people knowing PostgreSQL. So if you can help someone to use PostgreSQL, please do it. If you can make training, if you can help your neighbor, do it. We need more people knowing PostgreSQL. So knowledge transfer. We have relative limitations in PostgreSQL related to other databases. Yes, of course, yes. But we have some relative advantages. For example, PostgreSQL is very fast in the commit of transactions because of the MVCC model we use that. Well, you have to say to people that no one database management system is the same as each other. If you compare Oracle to DB2, they are completely different. Why someone has to take Oracle to compare with PostgreSQL? They are different. So you have to say to people that they are different and how to think PostgreSQL on the data center. Problems and needs that we need for Caixa and for PostgreSQL. How to scale out. I told you that one single Sunfire board was not enough. It took almost 100% of its CPU time for PostgreSQL, so I need more nodes. How to do that? Fortunately, I will participate on the meetings of PostgreSXC. What I think is the very nice promise we have today for scaling out in transactional systems. I said to you that I can't lose anything. So it's not possible to use, for example, PG pool, or to use another kind of replication that slows down my performance. Transparent memcached inside the database would be a very nice approach for PostgreSQL. I think EnterpriseDB has a product that does that. And how to use more resources in maintenance routines. For example, when you do a re-index, you have just one CPU working for you. How to use more CPUs in a re-index, for example. This would be a very nice feature for PostgreSQL. These are the things that people at Caixa and I myself had when working with PostgreSQL in Caixa. Another thing that would be very nice is to make administration through SQL commands. For example, to change one configuration file through SQL would be very nice. It's very difficult when you have a DBA team and the support team, they are separate, and the DBA team wants to change one configuration, they have to say to the administration team to change that, then reload or restart PostgreSQL. How to make that with SQL would be very nice.
So you mean store the configuration as a table?
It's not so good. If you have a problem in your database and the database just don't come up, how do you fix that?
But something like that.
You're saying you could
put the variables in, the changes you want in to the system, and then they would restart it later on when they're happy. Is that what you're saying?
This would be nice, but I still prefer a flat text file for that.
I was trying to understand what you were saying, not making a suggestion.
Okay. What I say is, for example, you save through SQL, put a comment, change that value, and the database changes it on the text file. Would be very nice. Not to open the text file to edit using VI, for example. And sometimes...
So you can do it through a database connection with a database authorization instead of with a SSH and a VI type. That's what you're talking about.
Yes. When you use VI for editing, you have some hand mistakes or typos, not good, including that. Another thing, the system. When I say system catalogs for performance monitoring, we have it in PostgreSQL. But one thing that needs to be very well clear to everybody is how your disks are responding to your database. This is one thing that I miss very much in PostgreSQL, and I will try to help with this development, is to make the disks monitoring very clear to use by a DBA to show your performance problem is in your disk. Today I have to make scripts and use Zabbix to monitor the disks, and I need a lot of external tools to do that, and I think that the DBA has to have access to that. Another thing that was a very big problem is corporate audit flexibility. For example, when you turn DML on the log, or better, the DDL language on the log, you start to see, for example, passwords. In alter user set password, you see that on the log. This is one thing that we don't want to see in logs, but if someone gives a create table, alter table, we need to see that in the log to audit. How to do that? I just don't know how today in PostgreSQL. This is just one example what we need that. And
you can log DDL, eh?
Yes, but what we do when someone fires an alter user set password?
Yeah, that's true.
We just can't show that in logs. Test that I did with the transactioning system was PGPool and Sequoia. That today is Tungsten. I think I don't know if people from
Sequoia
do use that. I think that for data warehouse they are okay, But for the transactional system, they are not so good. They slow down your write queries. So we made some tests. One single PostgreSQL was 750 banking transactions per second. When using PGpool, it dropped it to 170 transactions. And when using Sequoia, it was 50 transactions per second. So for a very fast transactional system, it's not so good. Postgres XE should address this problem, I think. Tools. When I say integrated graphical monitoring system, I'm talking about PG Admin 3. That's very nice. But I think that it needs some graphs to show up what's going on with a bloated table, bloated indexes, with the disks, like I said to you, with memory usage. An integrated environment for that would be very nice. In For Linux, we are doing a lot of scripts and, how can I say that, in Zabbix. You make everything and put that on my screen. We are using Zabbix for that. We are trying to put that on PG Foundry, all scripts that we are doing there, and maybe start a new project. And we need to see that for all the database infrastructure. So Zabbix, yes?
I'm just wondering if you looked at Check Postgres for Nagios.
Yes, we used that, Check Postgres. But we changed some things, then we are using Zabbix for that.
Okay.
And we need to see that for all the database infrastructure. The problem in Zabbix and Nagios is that you need to configure everything you want to see that. If you have an integrated tool, it will automatically take your parameters from your database, which would be very nice to do that. Today we don't have it. And prevention alerts, when something is going wrong on your database, you need to know that. How to trigger alerts when you have something that will explode and didn't explode it yet. Well, just to finish everything, PostgreSQL is ready for these kind of applications. It's the only open source database that can do these things we are doing in Caixa in Brazil, I'm sure. Someone said to me, why don't you use MySQL? No reply from me. But, of course, we need to make things better. We can do things better. Of course, the community works very well. It's a very major team of people. And I have some special thanks. First, if someone here came to the PGCon last year, knew Euler Taveira, is my friend, my colleague, that worked with me in Caixa. He was lecturing here last year. I have to thank a lot of people from Caixa that authorized me to show you this case, and Davidson that came here to testify that what I'm saying here is true. I have to thank a lot the PostgreSQL community that helped me to make these things happen. And to For Linux, my employer, that sponsored me to come here to say it to you and contracted me last year to make this job that I think was very nice for me and for Cash and for Brazil and for the whole PostgreSQL community too. Okay, this is my email address. I'm open for questions if you have some. Yes?
You said you use a separate SAN array for your wall files. How did you actually, how do you do it? Did you simulate them to different models?
Yes, exactly. The people from Storage Subsystem just, this is the LAN of the that RAID array, it was mounted anywhere, and then I linked PGX log to that. Yes?
What's your mix of read versus write transactions?
I beg your pardon?
The mix of read versus write transactions in your OLTP system, how many reads versus writes do you do?
I just didn't understand what you want to know.
How do you do mostly write transactions or read transactions?
Okay, it's mostly 70% write transactions, inserts and updates. So you don't have too many selects on that. Somewhere else?
How you did the benchmarking? You were testing different database.
We used the script for JMeter, a JMeter script that connects to the application with a group of JBoss application servers. And then we make measures of banking transactions on that application. JMeter is a quite nice tool. You can make any kind of benchmark on that, including connecting directly to your PostgreSQL database. Okay? Yes?
So you had described three systems, and I guess you have, I'm guessing you don't have three disk systems. You have one that serves all three, or?
Today we have two.
Today, well, I mean, two sites, yeah.
No, we have two independent systems in each site, yes.
And so this is driven by the capacity or the desire not to put all your eggs in one basket, or?
Today, it is oriented to performance. Just performance. In the data warehouse system, people is thinking about space, disk space. But performance is not a huge problem over there today. But in the transactional system, it's just performance. Okay? Well, thanks a lot.